every morn. And to misery are born. Every morn. And every night. Some are born to sweet delight. Some are born to sweet delight. It's so strange that you don't remember any of your poetry.
I don't know anything about poetry.
Boy, you're so modest.
A proud co-sponsor of the book launch for Storm, Rack, and Spindrift on Thursday, November 21st from 7 to 8 p.m. at another read-through in Portland. Storm, Rack, and Spindrift is a Scottish and Canadian immigrant drama, a coming-of-age story set in Nova Scotia and Scotland dealing with political disenfranchisement, religious prejudice, and class consciousness. Again, that's the book launch for Storm, Rack, and Spindrift on Thursday, November 21st from 7 to 8 p.m. at another read-through, 3932 North Mississippi Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Runaway Inequality, an activist guide to economic justice with Les Leopold on Saturday, November 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. at First Unitarian Church in Portland. Les Leopold co-founded the Labor Institute. He's in Portland to talk about his latest book, Runaway Inequality, an activist guide to economic justice. Again, that's Runaway Inequality, an activist guide to economic justice with Les Leopold on Saturday, November 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. at First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good evening, Portland. The time is 7:03, and you are listening to KBOO 90.7. Here at KBOO, we have a dynamic community of 500 volunteers who keep the station running. Depending on your interest and ability, there are a great variety of things that you can do. Additionally, we offer training in radio production, voice and microphone skills, audio editing, and field recording for volunteers who have attended volunteer orientation to commit to volunteering in filling station needs. Do you want to get involved? Come on down to the next volunteer orientation on Monday, December 1st from 2 to 4 here at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. For more information, call KBOO at 503-231-8032. Coming up next, Popular Education Radio.
Me. Why?
Portland. My name is Tammy, and you are tuned into Popular Education Radio here on KBOO 90.7 FM. What a pleasure to be here with you, as it is always. I am always here for you, always and forever. Tonight, I'll be playing my interview with Steve Ignorant of the band Crass. That's right. I'm just going to give you a second to adjust, to just digest what I just said. That's right. It was a fantastic interview, and it is the last one in my popular education through music segments that I was doing through the month of November, starting off with Jeffrey Lewis, and then I had Immortal Technique, and lastly, tonight, you'll be hearing the interview with Steve Ignorant of Crass. So while a lot of people might know who Crass or what Crass is, some might not. So just to give you a little bit of background, Crass is a fantastic band. I am personally going to say the best band ever, up there with the Bad Brains and actually a couple other, but I digress. They started off in England. They, in the late 70s, early 80s, they started off as a collective. And we'll hear a little bit more from the actual frontman of the band and co-founder of the band, Steve Ignorant. And it was a kind of like in a response to the climate in England at the time. But they are pretty much just anarcho-punk. They are pillars of the movement and subculture. And Steve Ignorant was, like I mentioned, the co-founder of the band, and is currently on tour and doing other stuff. It's called Slice of Life, also great stuff. It's a little bit different, but again, we'll get into all of this very, very soon. Like I said, my name is Tammy. You're listening to Popular Education Radio. It is a pleasure to be here for you always and forever. And if you'd like to hit it up, you can do that. You can reach out to me at populareducationradio@gmail.com. That's the email, or on the interwebs Instagram. Handle name is Popular Education Radio. And so, because this is the final segment of the popular education through music, I'd like to open up the phone lines for listeners to call in. You can mention things that you've learned from this episode or other episodes. And the phone number is 503-231-8187. Really here, I'd like to hear from you and see what you have to say, what you've learned, and how things like, I don't know, punk changed your life, or how hip-hop changed your life, or, you know, type of musicians and music that really have inspired you to be better, do better, and all that jazz. This is Popular Education. My name is Tammy, and I'm going to be playing you my interview with the co-founder of the band Crass, Steve Ignorant. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Listeners who don't know or aren't familiar with your work musically, how would you describe it, and also yourself?
Best thing to do is sort of listen to it, really. I mean, I always find it difficult to describe it, but it's very in your face, put it that way. It takes no prisoners. And how would I describe myself? Well, an angry old man.
And how would you describe the new music from Slice of Life?
Right, someone said to me that listening to Slice of Life is like a bit like being in a London taxi cab, where the driver talks to you. So that's, you know, I suppose it's, I would call it kitchen sink music. It's music to wash the dishes by. But it's, I mean, the music, some of it is quite mellow, but the message is, you know, pretty much the same as what Crass was doing. The Slice of Life thing, I mean, that came about really because I wanted to take what I, you know, I was performing Crass songs in London, and I wasn't actually performing a song, someone else was. And I was standing there and I thought, my God, you know, we're so polished, and this is so, you know, brilliant, that if I was a sort of 15 or 16 year old, going in thinking, oh, I'm going to start a band, I'd look at what we were doing on stage and I'd think, I'd never be able to do that in a million years. We were that good, you know, the musicians were really good. And I thought, well, I really want to sort of take it back down to the basics, so that if people, so if, for example, if I'm doing Slice of Life and someone comes in and sees what we do. I mean, they're very simple chord structures and things. You know, I'd hope they'd go away and say, oh, I could do that. And if they can, that would be brilliant. So, you know, on one hand, I'm really into that. But on the other hand, you know, because of the political climate we're in, I identify myself just as much to the old screaming, shouting crass stuff. You know, I mean, it will never leave me. I can't, you know, it's there for life. You know, I can't escape it.
And what made you decide to perform the Feeding of 5,000?
I performed the Feeding of 5,000 back in 2007. And that came about because someone phoned up and said, oh, well, you know, we've got a slot here if you want. You know, you play for half hour, Steve, and all this. And I thought, oh, you know, I don't want to do the same old thing, you know. So I thought, I know, as crass, we'd never performed Feeding of 5,000 as it was on the record. So I thought, well, what a great opportunity, because it only lasts about half an hour, 30 minutes. So I thought, well, you know, don't announce it. We'll just go on in the middle of all these bands and we'll just perform that and it'll blow everybody away and we'll be the best band that night. Well, it sort of snowballed from there into me headlining two nights at Shepherd's Bush with the Empire, and it became this sort of huge thing. And I thought, well, I can't repeat that again. So, you know, what I've been doing recently is crass songs, but it's not the Feeding of the 5,000. It's sort of songs from and sort of different songs, you know, and songs that I did with Schwarzenegger and other bands I've been in also.
In References, which is the lyric book and also stories, you have songs from all those bands, right? Not just crass songs?
Yeah.
What made you write that book?
Because I wanted people to know that it wasn't just crass, if you know what I mean. I think some of the songs that I wrote after crass were just as powerful as you know, the crass songs. But because I didn't perform them with crass, they sort of got lost over the years. And I think that, and I wanted to sort of try and explain some of the references in there, and how they came about, so people would maybe get a better understanding of it. You know, I suppose really it's because I spend a lot of time looking at other people's lyrics and sort of, and I always think to myself, I wonder why they wrote that, you know, and da 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 da. And I just sort of found it interesting. I just hoped that people would find it interesting of how, you know, that's why I did all those scribble, you know, my notebooks in there. They're the original notebooks, so that people could see how a song develops, you know, and lyrics develop. So yeah, it was that really, just giving people an insight.
Which project, ongoing or past project, would you say that you're the most proud of?
Well, crass is up there, isn't it? I mean, it's got. but, you know, now, I mean, I'm most proud of what I'm doing with Slice of Life. And the reason I say that is because it's touching, you know, I'm 61 years old now, and so the average age of people who come to my Slice of Life gigs will be in their 50s, you know, upwards. And, you know, there's a lot of walking sticks, and there's, you know, a lot of hip problems and knee replacements going on these days, and there's a lot of limping going on, and people have to sit down due to the ageing process. So, Slice of Life, I'm sort of addressing that. A lot of us are losing friends from various diseases, and I'm approaching that with it. So, really, with Slice, I'm really proud that a lot of people have related to this song I do about depression, which I suffer from sometimes. And I'm really proud that people have sort of hooked onto that and have started talking about it. So, yeah, that's, you know, I'm really proud of that.
Do you think that they liked crass or like crass?
Well, yeah, a lot of people do. But what I'm finding also is that strangely enough, during the crash days, the ratio between men and women would be 70-30, if that. Even though we were trying to reach, you know, with Eve Libertine and Joy DeVive and everything, we were trying to reach out to women, you know, the feminist aspect. But it didn't always work. And what I'm finding now is that a lot more women are coming along, because it's not so macho, it's not so masculine. You know, there's not a mosh pit going on down the front, if I can put it that way. The lyrics are a lot more accessible, so yeah, I think that's what's happening.
Say my eyesight's going bad from sitting in the dark. Sometimes these days don't seem to hit it off the mark. When everyone around you seem to be doing so fine, well, maybe that's a sign to watch out for yourself. We evaluate each other, always judging our own worth. How far have we come? We competitors from birth. Perverse enjoyment in bleak despair, when we're blinded by our tears, knowing sometime the crying must stop. Well, maybe that's the cruelest fear, when everyone around you say they understand and can sympathize, like the wretched fools we are. We turn away and despise, and you tell me that it's okay. You tell me time will heal, and I tell you I don't cry for myself, because this time I really, really thought I could feel. We all point the finger, we all love to shift the blame, knowing only far too well we choose to wallow in our pain. And when everyone around you say they understand and can rationalize, like the drowning clutch at straws, we'll grab at any passing line. And now you tell me that it's okay. You tell me time will heal, and I tell you I don't cry for myself, because this time I really, really wanted to feel.
Such a beautiful song, really. Kind of gave me goosebumps there. For those of you just tuning in, my name is Tammy. You're listening to Popular Education Radio. On tonight's episode, I'm interviewing one of the co-founders of the anarcho-punk band called Crass. Steve Ignorant has agreed to speak with me about all sorts of things. We just heard a little bit about what he's up to now. And next up, we are going to dive into Crass. Their origins and what they stand for, and all sorts of stuff. So thank you all for tuning in. This is the rest of my interview. What was the political climate like when the band first started playing music?
Well, yes, England was very grey. It was almost like a black and white television set. There were strikes from the garbage collectors, so there was, you know, rubbish all over the street. There were electricity power cuts. There was mass unemployment, a lot of poverty. It really was like a police state. If you looked slightly different, you ran the risk of either getting beaten up or arrested on suspicion that you might commit a crime. There was racial tension, all the rest of it, you know. You know, we had these rock stars who were flying about in sort of jet aeroplanes and sort of, you know, telling us how sort of wonderful the world of rock and roll was, you know. And when punk rock came along, it sort of exposed it for the fallacy that it is, because, you know, it's not glamorous. you know, we're really up against it. If you went into a pub with a, this might sound weird now, but if you went into a pub with different coloured hair, there's a good chance that you would get a glass in your face. It was that extreme.
So why did you keep making music?
Well, what else are you going to do? I mean, no one's going to, you know, no one's going to stop me what I'm doing. That's the only way you could do it. It was worth doing. I've been oppressed so many times. You know, I grew up in a rough neighbourhood, so if I get a black eye, it won't be the first time, probably won't be the last time, so, you know, I don't give a fuck. But I was determined not to be put down by them, and I think that's what a lot of other people felt as well. So when you did meet other punks in a club or something like that, or a pub where punks were allowed in, you'd all look at each other and go, oh, we survived that one, and you'd sort of tend to hang around in groups, you know, not like a gang, but you'd, for safety in numbers, you'd look out for each other. With all that aggression towards us, it made us stronger. It sort of cemented the bond between us, and unspokenly we all said, I'm not giving in, just going to keep going, fuck them.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's very powerful. What was a crash show like?
Well, it would have been, yeah, I mean, we used to use very low lighting, so on stage there would have been a backdrop of banners just all the way across, the Crass symbol, Fight War Not Wars, the CND symbol, whatever bands we were performing with at the time, you know, their banners would be up there as well with messages. There would have been a film back projection going on as we were playing, and on either side of the stage we had four TVs that had a video loop going through them, but also we had two TVs that were showing what was on TV that night. Really loud noise, you know, and it would have been hot, sweaty, intimidating. But and obviously I only saw it from the stage, you know, but people have told me that it was really not only intimidating but an absolutely exhilarating experience, because you walked in and you felt you were instantly part of it. And it was a complete assault on all the senses, you know, this loud noise going on with all these visuals. I wish I'd seen one, but I'd love to have seen. I wish someone had filmed a crash set, you know, but in those days that, you know, nobody could afford the equipment. So all there is old sort of photographs, really. It's a real shame that. I'd love to have seen it.
And speaking of the banners, the Crass logo, the infamous Crass logo created by Dave King,
yeah,
recently passed away.
Yeah.
What does that logo mean to you?
It just means sort of, you know, my life, really. I can't put it in another way, you know. When I see other people wearing it, it fills me with pride, you know. I'm proud of what I've done in Crass, you know. I've been a part of that amazing band, and just part of me. It's me. It's me and my life. That's it. That's all I've ever really known. We'll be right back.
Greetings and salutations. My name is Tammy, and you are tuned into Popular Education Radio. That last song was called Walls, and it's by the band Crass. And I picked this song because this song is exactly what Steve Ignorant was talking about when he mentioned that the band was trying to get more feminist and women voices out to the punk scene and just, you know, amplified. The album is called Penis Envy. I know, right? And the main vocalists on there are actually Eve Libertine and Joy de Verrier. And Steve Ignorant, who is the usual singer for Crass, wasn't even credited on the album. So, you know, that speaks volumes. The album itself addresses feminist issues like marriage, you know, just like social expectations of women, as well as sexual repression. So it's really interesting, a lot more complex than the earlier stuff. Just so good. Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and just play the rest of the interview that I have with the co-founder of the band Crass, Steve Ignorant. Obviously, you are hearing all the stuff that's happening here in the States. What's your personal opinion about all of this stuff with the alt-right and just straight-up fascists and Nazis, neo-Nazis that are walking the streets pretty freely?
Well, it's, you know, they've always been around, and it's, you know, they might not have been getting as much media coverage as they are now, but, you know, they're always there. I mean, you can go into any pub in England, you know, and you'll hear the same old bullshit. It's always there under the surface, so it's nothing new, you know. And we've got the same problem in England with this Brexit rubbish coming on, you know. I mean, because my wife is Dutch, she's now got to sign up to the government so that she can stay in the country, even though we're married, even though she fits all the criteria. Even my dentist, who's a South African, he's got to do it as well. So it's absolutely ridiculous, and all these people have said they've never felt so unwelcome in this country as they do at the moment. So we've got sort of same problems going on here. Like, you've got this thing with Donald Trump wanting to build that wall between Mexico and America. I mean, fucking ridiculous. I mean, God.
What do you think that people, young people, middle-aged people, just humans in general, can do to combat this feeling of just not positive feelings? You know, I don't want to say necessarily oppression, but it's definitely snowballing towards that.
Well, just sort of stick together and talk about it or whatever, or just watch out for each other, or don't buy their lies. And the next time you get a vote, you know, make sure you stop the idiots getting in. It's like, you know, we have the same thing here. You know, we've got that buffoon Boris Johnson, and how on earth he got to be the Prime Minister of England is absolutely beyond me, but it's causing, you know, so much destruction. And the only thing we can do is sort of wipe our mouths and get on with it, and I don't know how we do that, but just stick together, you know, just don't let them get you down.
What was the first time that your expectations of what you thought your life should be like first smashed by the reality of, you know, just capitalism and the world that we're living in?
Oh, I think that was probably when it really was brought home to me, was the miners' strike in the 80s in England and the Falklands War. And I knew that we had failed. You know, I knew we'd lost. We felt that the world was changing and becoming maybe a slightly better place, but that sort of totally blew me. And I think, you know, and when we had the right-wing government in for three consecutive terms at the end of 1984, we were just crushed by it. I mean, everybody was. So, yeah, it's probably then.
What was your initial reaction to it? Was it despair? Was it
absolute despair? You know, it's like, what more can we do? You know, you start thinking, do we go down a terrorist route, for example, and all that? No, that's not why we started a band. You know, it's you know, it was just total and absolute despair. So but somehow you get through it, and now I don't, you know, I just don't give a fuck.
Yeah. to lay bounce in me. The system I touch, your body won't get me. 1, 2, 3, 4. Doesn't control like gonna let it get you. Gonna be a prisoner of bad night sessions. So you wanna be a summer gonna be no mention. Let me get you, get you, get you, get you, get you, get you.
Evening, Portland. How's it going? I'm playing music that you're enjoying. That was Big A, Little A by the band Crass. My name is Tammy. You are listening to Popular Education Radio on 90.7 FM here at the Cable Community Radio Station. Very much enjoying myself, and you can tell I'm in a peppy mood because I'm listening to some of my favorite music, and I got to talk to some of my favorite musicians, and here I am broadcasting and, you know, sharing the information that I've learned, which is the whole point of popular education to begin with. Yeah, so just have a little bit left of the interview with Steve Ignorant, co-founder of the band Crass, and I'm really looking forward to, you know, just kind of hearing from you what you have to say, both about music in general, music that you enjoy, music that teaches you, whether it is punk, hip-hop, opera, I don't care. I just want to hear from you and you know, share the wealth, you know, let us know. Maybe there's stuff that I should check out that I'm not aware of. Like I said before, phone number is 503-231-8187. You can also hit it up on the social medias at Popular Education Radio. But without further ado, here's the rest of the interview. What are you working on right now? I know that you are touring or about to start a tour.
Well, I've got 4 more gigs to do this year, so I'm doing that with Slice of Life. And then next year, starting off in England and Europe, I'm doing Crass stuff.
Any chance of a US tour?
We're aiming to come over your side, if we're still allowed in 2021. So, but we've got to work out all the logistics, and because it's so expensive to do it. I mean, I don't know if people realise it, but it really is expensive to get a work permit to come to your country. So, you know, that's all got to be worked out and everything. So, but you know, hopefully we'll come over.
Yeah, you know, we would love to have you here. We need to have you here. You know, get the fire burning a little.
All right, we'll see what we can do.
Fantastic! Oh, so great. Thank you, and have a great rest of the day.
You too, mate.
Take care.
They sell us love as divinity when it's only a social obscenity. Underneath, they're all lovable.
Fantastic. That was Darling by Crass, also off the album Penis Envy, I do believe. Let's see. What else? Let's see if there's some housekeeping. Like I said, you're listening to Popular Education Radio. My name is Tammy, and that was my interview with Steve Ignorant, the co-founder of the anarcho-punk band, Crass. It's an early 80s, late 70s anarcho-punk band. One of the pillars of punk, of the community, both here in the States, Portland, and abroad. I mean, it's just, they are more than a band. They are more than a lifestyle. They are very near and dear to my heart. And I'm, yes, very glad that I got the opportunity to speak with the co-founder, Steve Ignorant. A I'm going to have this episode up online, rest with the rest of along with the rest of them. You can feel free to search for it on the web, Popular Education Radio. Let's see. Yeah, like I mentioned before, if you want to get in touch with me, the host, again, Tammy, it's my name, you can do so online on the interweb. What's the Instagram handle is Popular Education Radio, or on the Gmail or email, populareducationradio@gmail.com. Don't mind what letter mail you send me. I'll appreciate all of it. Yeah, so that's about it. I am going to wrap up the rest of the episode, just play some one of my favorite albums. It's not punk album or anything. I figure maybe the listeners aren't too used to hearing hardcore punk on the this early in the night on the airwaves. So I'll wrap it up and get back to something you're maybe more familiar with, and really enjoy doing this. Thank you all so much. I'd like for you to remember one thing.
Popular education is a form of freedom.
You're listening to Alice Coltrane's Reflection on Creation and Space, and that was A Blue Nile and the Sun. Coming up next, you're going to be listening to Galaxy Around Olidarium.
Thank you. na praji.
You are listening to KBOO Radio 90.7, and in just a few minutes, we're going to bring up a special gospel special, and as we substitute for Ear to the Streets tonight. Sister Sequoia has got some things she's got to do, so do your thing, Sister Sequoia. And hey, we will be back in a moment with a special primetime gospel on KBOO Ear to the Streets special. We'll be back.
Sponsor of Concert for the Village, Saturday, November 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Sabud House in Portland. Concert for the Village is a benefit for the Rafiki Village Project, whose mission is to improve health, increase literacy, and promote economic prosperity in Tanzanian villages. The concert features performances